Those batteries are getting low on that. Are you ready for the word tonight? Turn with me in your Bibles. Father, we thank that you bless the study time. You orchestrate everything said and done, and you change us by this lesson in Jesus' name. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Are you there? Verse number 12. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The point I want to make out of this is the writer of Hebrews says that once you develop a little bit in Christianity, you should be a teacher. Uh-oh. That didn't take long. In other words, God has ordained teachers in the body of Christ. One of the fivefold gifts is the teacher, the pastor teacher. There are teachers that teach Sunday class in church. You may not be called to that, but everyone is called to be able to teach the word to those that have questions. We're to become scholars at some level of the Word of God and able to impart understanding of it to those that have need of knowing. And even many of us, I believe, are called of God to lead Bible studies at work, at home, at the church, whatever. And tonight we're going to talk about how to prepare a Bible lesson. Amen. Because maybe God has put it on your heart to hold a Bible study. And so I think it's important to know how to do it with excellence. I am a teacher of the Word. So my teaching, how can I say, practices may be different than some. But as a teacher, one of the things that frustrates me is shotgun preachers where you never know where they're going. Not that they're not anointed of God, not that they're not speaking a word, and not that there's not an assignment there. And especially a lot of people that are in evangelism or in the prophetic, they'll just launch out and go. And hey, if the anointing's there and the Spirit of God's orchestrating it, wonderful. I love it. Do you follow me? Some of my favorite people to hear minister get under the influence of the Holy Spirit and take off, and it's God all the way through. When we have somebody that's not prepared to teach a lesson, not prepared for their message, and they go out and they just start rambling and they're just going here and there and you never know what the point is, as a teacher, it's frustrating to me. Do you follow me? And so, and please don't scream at me either. I can hear the microphone fine. Just my opinion, amen. I want to teach you some of the points I use when I prepare Bible messages. Some things that I think are valuable to use. And I invite you to take notes tonight. I'm going to have stuff put on the board. And look at a process by which you put together a Bible message. Amen? And so, of course, the first thing you want to do is hear God. Hear God whether you're to teach or not. Hear God whether you're to hold a Bible study. Feel that draw on your heart to impart the Word of God to others. And if you hear God on it, He says to do it, know He's going to back you up in doing it. He'll give you the messages, and He'll anoint you to minister them. I did not start teaching Bible studies. I would teach at church. I would teach Sunday school. They'd ask me to teach Sunday school, but to hold a Bible study, God told me to do it back in September 1991. And so when He told me to do it, I knew He would back me up on it. At least I knew I had a promise of that. But I laid on my face for hours for all of the messages when I first started off to hear not only what, you know, what God wanted me to minister, but what verses to use, every part of it. And I would pray my way through to putting the message together. I still do that today. God may give me what to teach, but I want to know, how does He want it orchestrated? What's He want pulled together? And so many times, my iPad is, I had in the notepad section, is I don't know how many messages God has just given me a download on. I'll be praying and all of a sudden something, I'll have a revelation and I'll know God wants me to minister that or at least be prepared to, and I'll just start typing in the verses that are downloading for that message. Sometimes it comes like that, and sometimes you just know a topic and God wants you to dig in and find the verses, put it together, which is really describes the first 10 years of me ministering anyway, was digging into the scriptures and doing what God, teaching what God told me to teach. So the number one thing you do in putting together a Bible message is understand you need to pray. You need to hear God. Now, what are you going to teach? If you're doing a Bible message, you feel led of God to put together a Bible lesson, what is it that God's instructing you to teach? Because what you do in putting together will differ for each one. For example, you may have a revelation out of the Word. Kenneth Hagin had a revelation out of the Word that if you'll speak to the mountain and believe, it's got to be removed. He ministered Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24 for years, time after time after time. Now, he had much more revelation than that, and he preached much more than that. But his primary focus was to teach people how to believe and to speak. So he operated more, he pastored for many years, but at the same time, he was more of a prophetic evangelist, more of a forerunner of faith in the body of Christ. So maybe God's giving you a revelation you're to teach. I know one of the revelations I'm called to teach is on the supernatural love of God. Amen? So I'm always going to be coming back to that topic. So if God gives you a topic to teach or a subject or a revelation, then that may be your primary assignment. Some people go through and only teach a handful of messages over and over again wherever they go. How many know as a pastor you can't do that? I did have a pastor for a couple years who did try to do that. Every Sunday morning was the same message. And after about a year or two, it got kind of repetitive. And I want to talk about what it takes to really bring change into people's life by having the right message. So maybe God gave you a revelation to teach. Perhaps you have a prophetic message. You know, a lot of people are given by God end time messages they're to proclaim to the body of Christ. Again, I believe one we're proclaiming is the glory of God is coming. And what's the glory all about? Perhaps you're just to teach Bible lessons, to teach about the Bible, or teach Bible topics, Bible subjects. Maybe to teach a book of the Bible, or a topic in the Bible. Maybe to teach on, you know, I teach on covenant. Maybe you're called to teach on biblical finances, or on healing. Pastor Callan's, his subject is healing. He has done more different messages on healing than anybody I've ever known. Amen. So based on that determines how you approach preparing those lessons. Perhaps God's assigned you, at least maybe for one session or maybe a group of them, to teach a life lesson. Some things you've learned in life that align with the Word of God. Or how you can apply the Word of God to different situations in your life. You've heard of Joyce Meyer. She specializes in that. You rarely hear Joyce Meyer teaching line upon line and precept upon precept deep Bible messages. She talks about you're in bondage. Here's how you can use the Word of God to get out. You're miserable. You need this area of teaching in your life. Do you follow me on that? Many people are called to that. Other people are called to teach spiritual or biblical principles. And so based on what you're called to teach will determine what kind of message that you're, how you're going to put that message together. Now, I want to give you a key statement in Bible teaching that I believe is mandatory to be successful in it. First, hear God, and usually know what you're going to teach. But then, know your target audience. Who are you teaching? Are you teaching a bunch of well-informed revivalists like we have in here? Are you teaching people that barely know that the Bible is true? Are you teaching people with a lot of experience in faith or little experience in faith? You've got to be able to recognize your audience And then based on what you're assigned to teach, in fact, you can start writing these down. Write down number one. Number one, write, what are you to teach? Might have to write kind of small, but big enough people can read it. That's good. What are you to teach? Number two. Number two, know your audience. Of course, this all begins with hearing God, right? Know your audience. What is their level of knowledge? And of course, many times it'll be an assortment. There'll be people that have great knowledge and people that have little knowledge. Amen. And because you may have a variation, you may have to put in the message stuff that challenges the experience but doesn't lose those that know less. Many times in here, you'll hear me review a whole lot because we've got different people at different levels coming in. Plus, we got people that miss a lot of services. And I don't want to leave people behind, so we do a lot of review. Plus, when you review, it reinforces the message. So we may do last Thursday night spiritual physics lesson four or five more times till you guys can derive that formula yourself. Homework, right? Now, number three. Determine where you can take the audience in a reasonable period of time. Let me explain that. Let's say, for example, I'm going to a new church. Maybe they've just come out of religion. They know nothing about faith. I'm not going to teach them how to live a victorious faith life in a one-hour session, which another part we could even throw in, know how long you're going to teach. How long do you have available? Because how long you have available determines how much you can cover and what lesson you can put together. So what you've got to do is know your audience, know what you're trying to get across to them. We started this church. There were quite a few people in here that never heard me teach, never heard about faith to any high level, never heard about victory in the body of Christ. They just heard that Jesus loves you, basically. And I had to, as quickly as I could, take them from knowing little about faith to trying to get them to the place we could all be on the same plane, knowing how to speak with authority and see things take place. How to walk in victory over the powers of darkness. Amen. So what you got to do is you got to decide who's your audience and what do they know. Then you got to decide where do you want to take them. And then what size bite do you need to take at a time? Do you follow me? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? Amen. How many elephants will fit in a Volkswagen? Seven. Three in the front, three in the back, and one in the glove compartment. Amen. I feel like those elephant jokes want to rise back up again. How do you kill a blue elephant? With a blue elephant gun. How do you kill a red elephant? I can't believe you said that. No, you twist his trunk till he turns blue, then shoot him with a blue elephant gun. Amen, never mind. We'll talk about humor in the messages here in a few minutes. I'm giving you examples right now. Know where you want to take the audience. Or the congregation or the group, and they determine what pieces do I need to break this down into to get it to them in an orderly fashion. You got to give it to them in a section, in an amount they can absorb, maintain part of, and go to the next lesson. Very rarely do you have the opportunity to unload everything you know on somebody at one time. And if you do, you're going to lose them anyway. Kind of like we did Thursday night. Amen. Keep going back to that one. Real failures in Pastor Jack's teaching. He tried to teach physics to a high level. So, you got to know where you're starting, what your long-term goal is to finish, and then how much can you do that day. And then you determine what steps do you need to take scripturally to go from where they are to where you want to finish. Now, you may not follow this yet, but whenever you're teaching something, somebody new, it's got to be backed up by Scripture. And Scripture, if properly laid out, will follow a logical, orderly process that you're imparting to somebody. Did you follow me on that? For example, how many have heard of the Romans Road leading people to Jesus? What's the first step of the Romans Road? Does anyone remember? Romans 3:23, for all of sin have fallen short of the glory of God. Step one. What's step two? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Amen. But the gift of God is everlasting life. Step number three. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, rose from dead and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. So there's a set of steps, and then you go into, and you're born again, and you receive the Holy Spirit. You're sealed. Based on which path you're taking, it's a set of logical steps to take somebody who's not saved to being saved. So they understand what takes place. When I lead somebody into baptism of the Holy Spirit, I take them through a set of logical steps to go from where they are to being filled. If I'm teaching healing, I go through a set of steps. Jesus took His stripes for your healing. It's a promise, covenant promised us all the way through. If you'll speak it and believe it, you can be healed. Every Bible lesson, if properly prepared, should have a logical flow to it, where Scripture is added upon Scripture to get people to the end goal that you're after. Do you see that? And you will find when I teach in here, I rarely teach from a shotgun perspective. I teach when we start here and we're going here. Even this morning, I'm not trying to advance my ministry or lift me up. I'm trying to use this as an example to show you can see what I've done. This morning we started off talking about people that turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Then we went to Genesis 3 and found out that was the first sin. Satan tried to excuse sin and say that there's no penalty for sin. Remember that? Then we went to Scriptures that deal with that you can't hang out with people that embrace that. Then we went to the next step, and you can name them by name. Then we went to the final step of looking at the works of the flesh, which have a penalty assigned to it, and you don't want that. And it circled all the way back around to, we have to avoid this doctrine. See, I always try to have a logical path laid out to get from start to finish. Now, my problem is I rarely make it from where I thought I was going to start and go to where I was going to finish in the time I had allotted. But what I do is next time I pick it up in a logical progression to review to get us back on track to that point. Do you follow me? I hope you don't get tired of the reviews, but I found out most people can't repeat what you said last week anyway. So review just reinforces what you've heard in the past. So, determine where you want to take your audience. Number four would be to determine a logical sequence of Scripture to get there from start to finish. To develop a logical sequence of Scriptures. That take you from 2 to 3. We'll just put it in that fashion. Meaning 2, you know what your audience knows, you know where you want to take them, then you develop a sequence of Scriptures to take them to where you want them to be. And I believe every Bible lesson should be able to follow that pattern. Now, understand, as I said before, some people will minister, and it is whatever God drops in them. They're speaking, whatever they're prophetically getting, they're releasing. But that is not Bible teaching. They may even go to a scripture that backs that up. And what I'm saying, it's not wrong. It's just the message they have. But that's more of a prophetic utterance than it is a Bible teaching. We're talking about putting together a Bible study. Do you see the difference? For example, he may have done it. I never heard him, but I heard him a lot. I never heard Kim Clement teach a Bible study. You guys know who Kim Clement was? He passed away, I think, last year or so ago? Kim Clement, a prophet, would just worship God until the anointing hit, and he just started declaring what he was seeing and hearing. And he might prophesy for an hour and a half. I never heard him go line upon line. He would use scriptures in it, as this is, but I'm talking about you putting together a Bible message. And I believe everybody should be able to do that to some level. Well, let's move on. Step number 5. Oh, and make sure your scriptures, your logical scriptures, remain in context. That's not step 5. No, that's not it. I was just throwing it on 4. When you're putting your scriptures together, make sure they're in context. Meaning, don't take scriptures to say what they don't because it backs up your points. You talk about something that I believe is total abuse of the Word of God is to bend Scripture to make it say what you want it to say. Amen. Number 5, personalize your message. Let me talk about this for a minute. There's a topic of ministry called homiletics. How many have heard of homiletics? It means the preparation of Bible messages. And actually, I'm not a big fan of a lot of homiletics teaching because they try to make it more of a formula than a flow. But homiletics is big on outlining your message. If you were to go in my office, you would see rows of binders full of messages I've put together over the past 26 years. And you'll find almost every one is an outline. Some of them may be a set of bullets or points, but most of them are in outline form. Because when you outline something, it forces you to logically look at what you're going to say. And listen, anymore I don't outline a whole lot. I outline it a few notes, but I've learned how to tap into the anointing and go with the flow of the Spirit and still keep a logical flow to it. But you'll find out when I do preach, you can go back and listen to the tape and you can outline it. But Bible outlines force you to look at your message to make sure it's logical. And you're about to teach the people of God, the Word of God. It's important you take it seriously and put effort into it. So lay it out. And then I'm going to skip ahead a step. But once you've outlined it, what I do is I re-preach it in my head. I'll read it and I'll preach it in my head and say, how am I going to say that? How am I going to transition from this point to that point? And I used to almost write down every word I was going to say until I learned to trust the anointing to flow to the next step, that God would take care of it. But you outline to the place, and then you go through it in your mind to say, does this message hold together? Can I really make this final statement based on this? Now, we're going to talk about preaching it here in a few minutes. But when you're preaching a message, the first thing you should start off with is what's the point you're going to make. When you're ministering a message, according to the rules of homiletics, which are not really hard and fast rules, I find I preach messages many times, I don't end up where I thought I was going. I get a whole different main point. But actually, you should know what you're going to teach and say at the beginning. I usually start with a scripture and that is in line with what I'm going to teach. And I say, here's what I want to show you today. Or at least allude to it. Then I'm going to spend the next hour teaching out of the Word scriptures that back up what I was just told you that aligned with what I told you. And then I'm going to finish with making my main point again. The point is you're going to try to get your main point over to the people. You got to make sure when you outline your message, does it really bring people to the final conclusion I've said? When I was young, I did a lot of the logic puzzles out of the puzzle book. You know what I'm talking about? Do you ever see the puzzle books, Dell puzzle books, crossword puzzles, all these different puzzles? When I was young, my favorite puzzles were the logic puzzles. And they just gave you a set of statements. You had to decide who killed who with what weapon was, you know, Mr. Scarlet or whatever. In fact, that may be where I learned to play Clue. I don't know. And out of that, I learned how you have to have proof for a logical argument. If you're teaching God's people, Scripture becomes your evidence of proof to get to your point. And you need to show people the proof. Are you following this tonight? So, let me give you an example. We mentioned this morning in Hyper Grace how they talk about steps to get to. God can't see your sin. Or it doesn't matter if you sin. Both statements. We started off, if you're born again, or if you confess Jesus, you're born again. If you're born again, you're righteous. If you're righteous, you're a son of God. And what father would turn his back on his son? Well, see, the first three things are, there's evidence in Scripture. The fourth one, there's not. Not that it aligns with all of Scripture in context. And you got to be willing to look at your own notes and decide, did I jump something that doesn't align with Scripture? Did I take a shortcut that's not scriptural? And if you did, you got to have enough spiritual maturity and integrity to throw it out. Because if Scripture can't prove what you're saying, it's not valid to teach the people of God. Unless you declare, this is my opinion. So number five, once you've put together your logical outline, how you're going to get from point A to point B, now personalize it. How do you personalize it? You include your own testimonies. You talk about your own stories. Include humor if necessary, if you can. Some people can use humor. Some people can't. Some people can't get away from it. Jesse Duplantis, he can't get away from the humor. People say, unless he's under the anointing, he's kind of boring. But under the anointing, he's just a big jokester. God's anointed him for humor. And so, I love to listen to his stuff. How about you? I roll listening to it. Bring in illustrations out of the natural, evidence from the natural to demonstrate what you're saying. However, the natural never becomes proof of Scripture. Scripture is proof of the natural. Here's another danger point. Your experiences will never invalidate the Word of God. Let me restate that. Your own personal experiences where something didn't work for you doesn't mean the Word was wrong. What you went through doesn't declare how Scripture works. Here's a danger I've seen some people fall into. They experience God moving in their life in some fashion, and that becomes a doctrine for them. That's how God always moves. You know, they were in a prayer session, and they laid under the piano for an hour and a half, praying in tongues, so God healed them. So now, well, all you got to do to be healed is get on the piano and pray for an hour and a half. Then it becomes a Bible lesson. There's a piano anointing. Yeah. It's got to be in the Bible because the anointing breaks the yoke. And so you need a piano in your church that you can lay under if you want to be healed. And somebody could put together a whole series of messages about the piano anointing. There are people, I know that's facetious, there are people talking about rocking anointings. You just get to rocking an anointing. And somehow that's a special anointing. Never let your personal experience become the foundation for how God moves or what you should teach. Amen? Let the Word validate your experience. Don't let your experience twist the Word. All right. Number 6. I've jumped ahead here. Let me see a second. Let's talk about, I scratched some of these notes out. Here's my notes tonight. Our power went out of the house. I did it in the dark. So I'm trying to read what I wrote down. My outline is questionable. Write down, preach the message in your own mind. Yeah, let's get these down in order. Okay, now right under it, put a dash. Is it true? Another dash. No, underneath that one. There you go. Does it transition? Let me explain that again. When I was early ministering, I'd forgot about this, to putting this together. But when I was early in ministry, one of the most challenging things I did was trying to figure out how I transition from one point to another. That you're making one point logically, now you got to go to the next one. How do you transition to it in a, how can I, seamless way that people can follow what you're doing? So you go through it in your mind. You're preaching it. You're making the next point. Did you lose anybody in your mind? Did you lose yourself in what you were saying? Does it hold together? You will find out when you preach the message in your own mind, you'll discover the majority of your mistakes that you may have made. Because you have to, as you preach it in your mind, you're gonna place yourself as somebody in the audience hearing it. How does this come across? Now, in homiletics teaching, they recommend you write down the entire sermon. I refuse anymore to write down an entire sermon. For one, I don't like writing that well. Amen. And number two, I don't want it to restrict me. I want to be able to tap in and flow. So, does it transition? If it passes those tests, then do number 7. Preach it. Do you see that? Now you're ready to preach it. Have you got all that down? Is that one to write it down? All right, erase that. Now we're going to shift. Notice this transition. Actually preaching it. Number one, we're going to preach a message. Of course, you always begin with prayer, right? Both personal. You know, we're not teaching on this a whole lot tonight. But one of the key things is to teach effectively is be filled. Have your own prayer and word time and worship time before you ever come behind the pulpit. Be overflowing yourself so when you're coming in, you're not gasping for spiritual breath yourself. You want to be able to impart, you know, not strain to teach. First thing, pray. Number two, I recommend always start with a scripture. We start our services usually with a scripture. Then when I go into the message, I start with a scripture. I'll almost always say, turn to have a foundation launching point scripture that we're going to take off from. Why? Because I want what we're teaching to start and end with the Word. I want the Word to be the focus of what we're doing. Amen? Now, again, understand it can be different whether you're teaching a Bible message or you're teaching a life illustration, whether you're teaching a prophetic message, a revelation. It could shift, but I believe you should always start with the Scripture. Number three, state your main point. Next, teach your outline. And as you get experience, you can get off the outline and go as the Spirit of God leads you. In other words, you're going to teach what you already preached in your mind. Get up and speak it now. Early on, I'd write down almost every word. It took me some time to get enough comfort, enough confidence that I have to write it all down, because here was my biggest fear, and yours will be too. I'm going to blank out. Well, people, two kinds of people. There are people that are afraid of speaking publicly and people that totally embrace speaking publicly. People that are afraid to speak publicly fear blanking out. How many of you ever fear blanking out? Right here. Done it, hate it, never want to do it again. Amen. So I'd write everything down until I got enough confidence teaching that I wasn't afraid I was going to blank out anymore. But people that embrace speaking publicly, you know what their number one danger is? Lack of preparation. Their confidence in their ability to stand up and speak, and yet they've not done enough legwork to have the Scripture to back up what they're speaking. And they can get totally off track. And so, teach what you went through in your mind. Teach your outline that you've already practiced. Throughout, make sure you bring everything back as evidence of your main point. Even depending how, see, messages can be 10 minutes, they can be 2 hours or longer. Keep bringing everything back to your main point. And don't be afraid to review in the midst of your message. In other words, when I teach the 7 P's of fulfilling your destiny, everybody remember those 7 P's? How many remember the 7 P's? Just checking. Purpose, plan, provision, promise, principle, power, process, right? Well, as I'm teaching it, I'll teach one or two, and then I'll go back and I'll tie them all together again. I may review each one, may go through the entire list 5 or 6 times, how it all ties back to the original, to keep everything tied to the main point after fulfilling our purpose with God. So don't be afraid to review. Don't be afraid to make sure that it all flows. And here's another key point. Study your audience to make sure you haven't left them behind. Now, I knew Thursday night I left some people behind, but I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't have time to teach a whole algebra course. I assumed everybody had passed 5th grade fractions. I'm teasing you. Study your audience. Hey, sometimes you know when it's time to quit based on the faces you're looking at. And this is usually a giveaway. And sometimes, this wouldn't be probably for, you know, just starting out. But sometimes your audience may cut you off and you can't even look at them. Last time I was on the mission field, I was invited to speak at a very nice big church. And it seemed like it was going well, but something I said or did, a signal was given to the congregation to cut me off. I don't know if I've shared that in here before or not. I've not been to that church before, and I doubt I'll ever go back. But there was quite a few people in there, maybe a few hundred people there that night. And something triggered right in the introduction. And I think I know what it was. I'm not going to share it tonight. But it was shut down like that. But I had brought some people in myself that had followed me over. That as I'm teaching where they're thrilled, they're like, yes, yes. You know what I did? I didn't look at anybody but them. I knew the signal had been given. It was obvious. And I says, well, I'm here to teach. And I looked at the people that were receiving, and I taught them. And I ignored the rest. But the point I want to make is you have to maintain as best you can connection with your audience to know they're receiving what you're saying. And if they don't, you may need to back up. I say in here quite often, are you following me? Are you with me? That's not just a hollow statement. I want to know, have you caught on to this last point? Can we go forward or do we need to review? And you guys are honest enough to say, you lost me. And you may not say it, but I see you back up going. Or like this. I back up and I recover that last point so that maybe, I don't know about you, but I've been in messages, I blanked out. My mind drifted, I didn't hear it. So if I don't feel like you've kept up, I'll back up and reteach it so we can all be at the same speed going forward together. You follow me? So a key statement to be an effective teacher of a Bible study is to make sure that you can read the body language of your audience and be willing to get feedback to some level. We'll talk about that again in a minute if we have time. Talking about this, I've had the honor of teaching in Lexington a whole lot of times at Pastor Callahan's church. I mean, that's a great honor. In my opinion, he's one of the premier Bible teachers in the world. And when you teach behind his pulpit, you watch him to see his feedback. The problem is he never gives you any. He refused to give you any feedback. He's not nodding or nothing or amen, and he's kind of like just looking. I've known him for 30 years. He's never changed. No matter who's teaching, he's like, okay, amen. And we laugh about it. All the pastors laugh about it. Like, don't look at pastor if you want positive feedback. But about a year ago, I was teaching in his church, and I'd been going for about an hour, and he's doing this on the front row, right there next to me. Man, you talk about starting to sweat bullets. He got bright lights anyway. Like, I'm not done. I got 3 more points to make. Maybe it's like 45 minutes, you know, and I still got 15 minutes to go. He's already looking at his watch. I went on. I pressed through it. I mean, I had to use my faith, but I pressed through it. Finished the message. Afterwards, he comes to me. He says, that was really good. He says, you know, I don't want you to think when I was looking at my arm that I was trying to tell you you're out of time. I have an iWatch, and my messages were coming up on my iWatch. Well, now you tell me. That'll mess with your anointing flow to some level. So, teach your outline. The next step. Watch the audience for comprehension. Watch them for comprehension. Now, I already mentioned give testimonies. Personalize everything you're teaching as you can. Throw in stories, even jokes. Real life examples. Make it real to the audience. Put it in a fashion they can identify with it or identify with what you went through or what they've gone through. Try to make it genuine. And then, I left out a few steps before. Avoid too many rabbit trails. Yep. You have to develop experience of what rabbit trails to take. Do you know what I mean by a rabbit trail? That's your preaching outline and all of a sudden something triggers some other teaching and you go off on this tangent and now you can't finish what you needed to say. Now, you have to be able to know the flow of the Holy Spirit to know whether it's a God-ordained rabbit trail you to stay on or whether it's something you can touch on and come back. I've had many times, in fact, I've had whole messages, I've had series coming out, come out of a rabbit trail. They'll be teaching one topic, and all of a sudden something opens up in the Scriptures, and all of a sudden, boom, here we go on this whole tangent. Sometimes it's of God. Sometimes people just like to talk. Know what rabbit trails take and keep them to a minimum so that you can continue your logical progression from start to finish. You guys remember the show Dallas? Now, I don't remember the whole story, but it seemed, and I only watched it a few times, but I remember it was, people were so excited about it. Who shot JR? But there's something happened in the series, and it was always, it was like, you know, a nighttime soap opera, so every show was continued to the next show. But there's something happened in it where somebody got killed, and later in the message, they brought him in, later in the show, they brought him back to life. And they said that entire season where the person was dead was just a dream. Was it Bobby got killed? I remember the dream part. They wrote off a whole year of it was a dream. You watched it for nothing because it wasn't real. The ratings went down as well. Had to shoot JR again. I don't know. It's funny you guys remember that. If you take too long of a rabbit trail, people forget the actual logical sequence you were in. And you end up with having to say, oh, that was just a dream we inserted, and it really didn't apply to where we were going. Do you follow me? I was trying to make a point out of that. At least you know how old some of the people are here because they know it was Bobby that died 40 years ago or whatever. 35. Then you've preached your message. As you're finishing up, bring everything back to your main point. Yeah, just say return to main point. In other words, you started off saying, here's what I'm going to teach. Then you logically presented it. And now you're going to say, here's what we taught. Have you ever watched the courtroom TV shows? They say, okay, here's what we're going to prove to you, jury. Now here's all my evidence. Now here's what we just proved to you. Right? Closing statements. You're doing the same thing with the Word of God. You're presenting in a logical, evidentiary fashion. Then, pray. Begin with prayer. Close with prayer. Now let me give you some other points as we're finishing up. For one, they asked E.M. Bounce, how many know who E.M. Bounce was? Lived back in the 1800s. He wrote books on prayer. He's still known as the premier writer about prayer. And he wrote about the deep intimacy you can have with God through prayer. And he wrote volumes. And that we probably have some of his books in the bookstore. But they asked him one time, how long does it take a minister to prepare a Bible message? He said 20 years. He said, 20 years, why 20 years? He said, because it takes 20 years to make a man. Your teaching should be more out of spiritual maturity and understanding versus theological, theoretical, you know, thought. Should be something you're living versus something you think should be lived. Do you follow me on that? Now, another key point. Patty was doing a women's Bible study here a few weeks back. And she's making a mistake that I've made myself many times. I've seen everybody make that I've ever seen start off teaching Bible studies and doing special messages here or there. She was supposed to teach for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 15 minutes. She had somewhere around 200 scriptures written down. I'm talking about... You had, what, 7 or 8 pages of notes?
Yeah, and I went 3 messages.
She had 15 minutes. She had 15 minutes. She's going to cover 50 scriptures. Now, I know the reason people do that is they're afraid they're going to blank out. They want to have a lot of backup, which is fine. I believe that's probably wisdom. It's no problem having backup. But don't think you're going to, you know, eat an elephant in a day. Rome wasn't built in a day. You're not going to teach the entire Bible in a day either. So if you're going to teach something, keep it simple and keep it limited. Don't try to cram too much down somebody's throat at the same time. Plus, you'll get rushed trying to teach and not flow. Here's another thing. You want a microphone? We need a microphone. We're taping it. Hang on. Oh, you done open your mouth now. You want to take over my service? I'm going to let you.
No, I just wanted to add to. I just wanted to
stand up so you look official.
Okay, like when I had to do that and I had everything written down, you know, and I went through 3 different sermons and all this stuff, and one of the most valuable things that he told me was just know what you're going to preach, write down a couple scriptures, and, you know, have things in your mind on what you want to talk about. And so that's what I ended up doing. I didn't use hardly any of my notes. I just, like, you know, I just ended up doing 2 scriptures, and it flowed so much better than I thought it would, because, you know, I thought I was going to get up there and just read, you know, word per word. So.
People were coming up crying, telling them the message changed their life. 15 minutes.
In fact, somebody texted me saying they wanted scriptures that I gave.
Amen. Praise God. And I was going to make some of those points. Is unless you're a Bible scholar, don't try to teach in depth in the Bible. Do you follow me? Teach your life. Teach your experience in the scripture you used in your life. See, I'm called to teach in depth the Word of God. And I wouldn't say I'm a Bible scholar, but I'm well versed in the Bible, in the scriptures. So I'm called to teach in depth in the Word. Patty's not. She's called to teach how the Word has changed her life and how she's used it in her life. So instead of trying to, she would freak out because I don't know enough Bible, and I'm, you know, I said, just pick a few scriptures that have ministered personally to you, and then talk about what it did in you. And when you teach out of your own experience, there'll be an anointing there, and it will flow. If you try to teach like a Bible teacher, it's going to be dry and flat. You got to know where God's gifted you, how to bring about the message He's got for you, and then flow. Let it happen. Amen. Don't be lazy in your preparation, but don't think you need 50 verses to teach a Bible message. Amen? Chances are it's going to come across too hard. Yeah, especially in 15 minutes. Amen. Well, did you get anything out of this tonight? Ready to hold a Bible study? Father, I thank you for this teaching, and I thank you that your teaching is how to operate in your kingdom with excellence. I ask you, Lord God, to show people here where they are to teach the word, who they're, how they're to bring people around them and instruct and impart. Draw on them a desire to relate to others what you've placed within them. Through Facebook, through their own Bible studies, through whatever media. But use what we've learned for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name.